please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter, in your Scofield Bible, page 1311, 1311. We'll read the first six verses of this chapter. We'll turn to yet another verse in the same book. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The sixth verse being a text verse for this morning's message. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Turn now to the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, a couple pages over, and the tenth verse. First Peter 4:10, let's read that verse together, ready? As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this season of the year. And we do pray that you'd help us to have a desire toward thee that would keep us focused upon the true meaning of the season. Thankful for our church family. And we pray that you'd help us to be loyal and faithful during these days of the season to our church, to our preacher. Bless this service, bless the preaching hour, bless, we pray, with power our preacher, and help us to listen with intent, with the intent that we might learn and do thy will, in Jesus' name, amen.
I felt that I, turn me up just a tad, please. I felt that I should bring a certain message today. It was not Christmas message. And I got thinking, you're supposed to preach on Christmas, and you're supposed to preach on the birth of Christ. And so I spent hours preparing a message. In fact, I had it in my Bible already, outlined my Bible already to preach this morning. And I realized that I was letting Christmas tell me what to preach instead of the Holy Spirit. And so I decided this morning to bypass a Christmas message, and you'll forgive me. And yet, in a sense, it is a Christmas message. You know, hurt hurts more in the next 2 weeks than any other time of the year. If the norm happens, there will be more suicides in the next 2 weeks than any other two-week period of 1999. It's always the case. That empty chair, please look at me now. Put your pens up and look at me. I want you. I've got some things to say to you. It's not a classroom. It's a preaching service. So look at me. That empty chair, the table, is bigger than it was a month ago. Christmas time. Empty place beside the wife in bed. It's a bigger place than it was before. There's something about Christmas time that makes the joy more joyous, but the sad, sadder. Our family this year, Dave and his family, will be here with us for Christmas. And the reason they are, main reason, is because there'll be an empty place in their family this year because of the loss of our little five-year-old grandson. And it'll be tougher Christmas time. That's why they're not staying there, because last year they had Christmas with him there, and they couldn't stay there. I'm trying to say this morning that those who hurt are hurting more now than ever. Please let me help you. I'm talking about little widows who just months ago, a few years ago, had their husband with them and the family in an empty place this year. I'm talking about people who are sick. They're sicker at Christmas time. I'm talking about folks in hospitals who are not being home, folks in rest homes. Let me try to help you this morning. I was reading recently, again, one of my favorite books in the Bible is 1 Peter. In fact, two of my favorite books, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I was reading the 4th chapter, and I came to the little term, the manifold grace of God. And I decided to check that word manifold, and here's what it means. It means the many-colored grace of God. It means whatever hue your burden is, God's grace covers it. And I got thinking, that word, the word manifold, that's familiar to me. It's somewhere else in 1 Peter also. Are you listening? And so I looked it up, and sure enough, it is in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, I read for you, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Many-colored temptation. The word temptation, there's the word testing, trials. You have manifold trials. That's the way he starts 1 Peter in chapter 1. And then in chapter 4, toward the end of 1 Peter, he uses that word manifold again. Manifold grace of God. Boy, if you're listening to me, you ought to shout right now. The manifold grace of God. Peter is simply saying, you got manifold troubles, you got manifold grace. You got a, and by the way, the word means many colored, or listen to me now, it means many colored, or all colors. Actually, it means God has a rainbow of grace. And that's the title of my message this morning, God's Rainbow of Grace. I hope you'll listen very carefully. If you knew what I knew about this crowd, you'd understand why I'm preaching this. If you sat behind my desk and with me for a month, and especially during this season, and listen to what I hear, and catch the tears I catch, and hear the groans that I hear, and feel the pain of the people that I feel, you'd understand why in the Christmas time I'm speaking on this subject, God's Rainbow of Grace. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be what our people need this morning. I'd like to preach a good sermon, but that's not even close to the top of my list. I'd like to have clarity of thought, eloquence of speech, but neither of those have been prayers of mine this week. But I ask you to help me to be what our dear people need as I speak on this very vital subject. In Jesus' name, amen. Please let me help you. I cannot help you unless you listen. I ask you to sit up straight. Listen carefully for the next few hours. Peter was in Babylon. He is now an old man. The truth is, he soon is to face death. Peter was an elemental man. He was always stumbling. And yet, I like Peter. He always seemed to climb a little higher as a result of his failure. I think he gets the short end of the stick sometimes. Peter was a great Christian. Bear in mind, in every listing of the apostles, Peter was the first name. When Jesus chose three to be in his inner circle, he chose Peter, James, and John. Once again, Peter was named first. Peter was no doubt the greatest Christian in the world at the time of Christ. Follow me carefully. The people, now bear in mind, he's an old man. The people were going through some tough times. In fact, the epistle of 1 Peter is an epistle to encourage God's people going through some tough times. And I'll promise you this morning that half the people in this room who are 21 years of age or older, or maybe 18 or older, are going through some tough times. And the next week will be the toughest time of the year for hundreds of people in this room. Peter, give me care for this sermon, Peter had been through everything that they were going through. So here's an old man looking back at his life, talking to younger people, just as I am this morning, and Peter was simply saying that I have been through whatever you are going through now. And he says, let me tell you what got me through where you are now. So Peter was writing to the younger people and the younger Christians, if you please. And Peter was saying, you're having it tough. You've got heartaches. You've got burdens. You've got sorrows. You have trials. You have illnesses. You have death. You have bereavement and all heartbreak and all of that. Peter said, I've been where you are. Let me tell you how I got through the place where you are now. He uses the term, as I said a while ago, the manifold grace of God. Now, what Peter is saying is, basically, three things will happen to you when trials come. The first thing, the hurt. The second thing, the fear. The third thing, the grace. Now, again, I'm an old man talking to most of you are younger than I am. Very few people are this morning older than I am. And I'm talking to young people this morning. And I want to tell you often, I have been through practically every single burden that you've been through. I've carried practically the same load that you're carrying now. So let an old man tell you this morning what the old man Peter told the young Christians back yonder 2,000 years ago. First, the hurt. There comes the burden. You're crushed. And then, after the hurt, comes the fear. Now, I've often said this. I have about a 2-day bleeding period in my life. When a heartache comes, I usually am crushed for a couple of days, and I bleed for a couple of days. And it seems like that the grace is always a couple of days late coming to me, but bless God, it always shows up. It always shows up. Look at me now. I'm trying to help you. You're going to need this one of these days. Listen carefully. I'm saying this morning, some of you are going through the time of hurt and the time of fear. Now, you're bleeding right now, but I want to let you know that grace is on the way. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace that's led me safe thus far, and I'm about to have a spell right now, and grace will lead me home. And so the apostle simply says, the grace of God is on the way. In chapter 1, many colored testings, many colored burdens, many colored heartaches. In chapter 4, for every single color of trial, there is a color of grace. Manifold temptations. And then he says, manifold grace will come. Peter is saying, I have had many colored testings. And in my life, for every single color of testing, there has been a comparable color of grace. The red of passion, the yellow of fear, the gray of illness, the black of death, the green of envy, the blue of depression. Peter has said, I've always, through all these years, in the burdens and the heartaches I've had, he said, I have known always a grace from God exactly to fit the trial and the burden and the heartache that I've had. Peter is saying, some of you have been persecuted. And some of you are being persecuted. I was too. Why, he said in the 5th chapter of Acts, I took my stand for God, spoke in Jesus' name, and I was beaten. I know what it's like. I've been there. He said, some of you have done some things you shouldn't have done. And by the way, some of you have done some things you shouldn't have done also. And someday, if I live long enough, I may do something that I should not have done also. But anyway, Peter said, some of you have done some things you shouldn't have done. He said, I remember when they came to arrest Jesus,
I knew that Jesus was going to go to the cross. I knew he was going to pay the penalty for my sins. He told us all about that, but I lost my temper and drew my sword and I cut this fellow's ear off.
To me, that's funny. I don't think Peter aimed for his ear. Nobody ever said one more word out of you, I'm going to cut your ear off. I think he aimed for his head. And the guy ducked like that, and the fellow had his ear cut off. And Peter said, I shouldn't have done that. And some of you have done some things that you shouldn't have done. But I understand that. I've been through what you are going through. He's saying some of you had said some things you shouldn't have said. I did too.
Jesus said, well, somebody here is going to deny me. And I said, not me. May John may, and James may, and Philip may, and Bartholomew may, and Matthew may, but not me. I'll tell you one thing. You got me, Jesus. He said, I shouldn't have said it. And he said, some of you have said some things you shouldn't have said.
But he said, God's grace was sufficient. Some of you have not stood up for Jesus, Peter said. I've been there, he said. I followed afar off. When Jesus was about to be crucified, I followed afar off. I sat by the fire of his enemies.
Somebody said, are you with him? And I said, I know him not. And somebody else said, you're one of them. And I said, I am not. And somebody said, he was with him. And I said, I know not what thou speakest. Peter said, there hath no temptation taken you. Whatever trial you've had, I've had. Whatever mistake you've had, I've had. But he said, I want to tell you something. For every sin, there's been the grace of forgiveness. And for every midnight, there's been the grace of the light of the world. And whatever sin, whatever weakness, whatever heartache, whatever sorrow, there has been a corresponding grace
for that sorrow, or temptation, or heartache. Peter is saying, some of you have been beaten. So have I. His grace was sufficient. He's saying some of you have been slandered. So have I. His grace was sufficient. He's saying some of you have been tempted. So was I. His grace was sufficient. He's saying some of you are facing battles. So have I. But his grace was sufficient. He's saying some of you are ill. So have I been. But his grace was sufficient. Some of you have bereavements because you've lost loved ones. So have I. I'm an old man now, and I know where you are. I've been where you are. And he said his grace was sufficient. Some of you have known heartbreak. So have I. But his grace was sufficient. Some of you have had disappointments. So have I. But his grace was sufficient. Some of you are facing death. So am I. For shortly after 1 Peter, Peter was crucified, and he asked if he could be crucified upside down, so he would not be crucified like the Savior was. He did not deserve that. He was saying, some of you are facing death. So am I. I know how you feel. And by the way, if I don't know how you feel, he knows how you feel. Peter was saying, some of you are lonely. I've known that. His grace was sufficient. Some of you have trials. Likewise, I've had trials, but his grace was sufficient.
Some of you are fearful. I too have been fearful, but his grace was sufficient. Some of you have heartaches and heartbreaks. I too have had heartaches and heartbreaks, but his grace was sufficient. And what he says is this, God's many-colored grace is sufficient. I know a segment of this church and a specimen group of people in this church. You've been to my office with heartaches and problems, but I'll guarantee you this, ladies and gentlemen, I'll guarantee you this building is filled with heartaches and burdens and sorrows. I'll also guarantee you this, there is the grace of Almighty God that would exactly be suited to your testing, your burden, and your trial.
For temptation, he gives resisting grace. For bereavement, he gives comforting grace. For illness, he gives suffering grace. For battles, he gives sustaining grace. For loneliness, he gives his presence for grace. For death, he gives dying grace. For sin, he gives forgiving grace.
He's saying to these people, look, I'm an old man. I was back yonder when Jesus came and presented himself as the Messiah. I was a fisherman, and he called me out of the world and called me to preach. I understand it. He said, I've been right where you are. But he said, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this old preacher. He's saying, I have been where you are. I've hurt like you hurt. I've wept like you wept. I've bowed like you bowed. But let me tell you something. There has been the grace of Almighty God for whatever color of temptation. There's been a corresponding color of grace. His grace is sufficient. Now listen carefully. It may look like now you can't take it. Believe me. There have been times this year when I felt like I could not face the next day. One time this year, I thought I'd never preach another sermon. Peter looks back and he says, I remember all the trials I've had. He said, you're back there. There's a long distance between where you are and where I am. But he said, I want you to know something. I want you to know that every step of the way, God's grace has been sufficient for me. And let me tell you, here's what I want to get to you this morning. The same grace that's available for me is available for you. I mean, the same grace for me to resist temptation, it's available to every single child of God. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to tempt you but be able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that book is not for preachers. That book's for every redeemed child of God. That book's not just for the house. That book's for you. The last person that walked this aisle and got saved, that book is for you. And every promise in this book that's for preacher house is for you. And look at it in grace. Receive the grace of Almighty God and realize it's for you as well as it is for me.
If Peter says it may look like you can't take it now, now get this carefully. When the trial comes, then comes the grace. God doesn't give the grace before the trial. God gives the grace at the trial. You look at somebody else and you say, well, Hiles, how can I take that? I couldn't take that. You look at Randy Rogers down here and realize that Randy can't move his body from here down. You say, I don't think I could take that.
I don't have the grace.
You don't have to have the grace. But Randy does.
And Mrs. Rogers there beside him. She doesn't. You say, how does she take it? I'll tell you exactly how she takes it. Amazing grace. That's how she takes it. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. That's how she takes it.
You say, I couldn't take that. Oh, yes, you could. God didn't give you. You don't. Grace is not stored up in case you ever need it. And all of a sudden the trial comes. Then comes the grace. And you, hear me carefully now, Peter is saying this. Peter is saying between where you are and where as an old man I am, Peter is saying there's many a heartache, many a burden, many a pitfall, many a trial, many a testing. Peter is saying, you looks like now you can't take it when it comes, but I got news for you.
I was back there one time, and I said I couldn't take what he's taking, but then I got there, and grace was there, and I got here, 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 and grace was there, and every time the heartache came, hallelujah, the grace was there.
The hurt will come first. And then the bleeding time, and then comes the grace. You cannot change the order, but you can count, hear me carefully, you can count on the grace. It'll arrive on time. It'll be there when it comes. We have heard from Peter. We have heard from the old man who said to his followers and to the people that to whom ministered for years, as he wrote back and said, I'm over here, you're over there, between where you are, where I am, there are pitfalls and trials and burdens and heartaches. And he said, I've been there, I know. And he said, when I was there where you are, I thought I couldn't take it, but I could. When I stepped a little farther, I thought I couldn't take it, but I could. And a little farther, I thought I couldn't take it. And he said, I want to tell you something. As you walk the path that I have already walked, I want you to know there's grace for that trial, and grace for this trial, and grace for this trial, and grace for this trial. Christmas is here. Let me tell you, those little people, little ladies that sit at the table with their children Christmas, and there's the empty spot where Daddy used to be, and their heart seems like it'll break, and the little children have to just have memories of Daddy, and the little widow wishes that Daddy were here. Let me tell you, as sure as this Bible is the blessed Word of God, Christmas Day, grace is going to come for that little gal. Let me tell you, Peter has talked. Now, again, let me talk. I, too, am an old man, and you, too. And most of you have not yet walked the path that I've walked. But let me tell you, though I've had just about every trial that you've had, I've had just about every burden that you've had, let me testify, though I could not, I felt I could not take them, let me tell you, I died, I hurt, and I bled. But while I was lying there bleeding, somebody came and said, let me help you. I looked up and I saw nail-scarred hands. Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will help to the end. He is your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. And so we come to the days that are so difficult. Empty place here. A lonely feeling here. And by the way, let me tell you, while you're opening your gifts Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, whenever you do it, let me remind you, there are a lot of people who will be laughing like you are. But let me say to every one of you who faces a lonely Christmas or faces a heartbroken Christmas, and this year has not been to you what you would have chosen, I don't know what you're going to face, but hallelujah, I know He'll face it with you, and His grace will be sufficient. I know that. I know it. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. And so I say with Peter, beloved, for 40 years I've stood behind this piece of wood. 40 years ago I became your preacher. I used to say, His grace is sufficient because He says it is. His strength is available because it says it is. But let me tell you, I know now. I know. I've been there, done that. And He's always been there too. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. Wonderful grace of our loving Lord. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. There's something sweet about being old. I don't know what it is, but they say it's sweet. There's something sweet about being old. You know why? I look back and I see you facing this, and I say, I'm glad that's over. Such as having children. Such as rearing children. My wife and I have decided that if in the new life, if reincarnation is true, and if you do come back again, if I'm a man, she's a woman, or she's a woman, she's a man, and I'm a woman, we're going to marry each other. We're not going to have any kids. We're just going to have grandkids. That's all. But we've been there. Done that. The little lady used to sit here on the fourth row will not be with us Christmas. My dear mother-in-law, who lived with us for years, my sweet, dear friend, will not be with us for Christmas. Our little five-year-old grandson will not be with us for Christmas. And likewise, you will face some pretty tough times yourself. Let me just simply say, as an old man, I've been there. I've been there. I've been where most of you are. I've hurt as most of you have hurt. And I can say with the Apostle Peter, you're going through manifold temptations, persecution, trial,
criticism, battles, heartache, slander, bereavement, illness, tough times, manifold.
But he said, I also want you to know that just as you have a rainbow of testing, there's also a rainbow of grace. And they close and testify how good God has been. I'm 73. I fought more battles than probably any preacher alive. I know what it's like to cry yourself to sleep at night. I know what it's like to bleed and bleed. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, every time I've laid there, life is going to say, I don't think I can take it. Well, the Holy Spirit says, oh, yes, you can take it. Through many dangers, falls, and snares, you have already come. But grace has led you safe thus far. And hallelujah, grace will lead you home. The manifold grace of God. The many-colored grace of God. The rainbow of grace. Would you bow your heads, please?